In memory of Judge Betty Binns Fletcher. Part 1. All around me are familiar faces. Tears for Fears. Chapter 1. Nicky Cervantes smiled to himself as two Wall Street boys pressed past him, one reporting excitedly to the other that Apple stock was up 6% with the release of the company's new iPhone. He could tell from their tone that the good news for the market meant a hefty check for the duo. Nicky was smiling because one might say he was sort of invested in the market himself these days, and those boys in suits and ties might be whistling over a 6% bump, but Nicky's own payback on the brand had nearly tripled in recent days. When demand for the latest gadget was this red hot, no one seemed to care where the hardware came from. No additional work for Nicky either. If anything, he felt a little less guilty about it. Anyone dumb enough to buy Jack the day it came out deserved to lose it, was how he figured. In truth, he never had felt much guilt over it. The first time he expected to feel real bad, like maybe the lady would start crying or there would be pictures on there of her baby that she'd never get back. But when he finally worked up the courage to do it, to just grab that shit out of her hand while she was preparing some text message to send above ground, the girl didn't seem to care. He still remembered her reaction, one hand protecting the $1,000 bag, the other covering the cleavage peering from the deep V in her wrap dress. In her eyes, he was dirt, and the phone was a small price to pay to protect the things that really mattered. He knew he wasn't dirt, but he also knew he wasn't VIP like those Wall Street dudes. Not yet, anyway. He was just a kid whose mom needed the $600 a month he'd been able to kick into the household since he'd been working at Mr. Robinson's paint store on Flatbush the past year. And he was the star pitcher for the Medgar Evers High School baseball team with a .6 ERA, an 88-mile-per-hour fastball, a .450 batting average, and a sweeping curve and changeup that consistently racked up strikes. With numbers like that, the $9 an hour he was getting from Mr. Robinson had to go once the coach told him he was spread too thin. If all went according to plan, Nicky might even be drafted right out of high school. He could donate 1,000 phones to charity out of his first paycheck to make up for what he was doing now. Nicky was already 50 reach and grabs in, but he was still careful, compared to some of the dudes he'd met who also sold hardware. Tonight, he was waiting on the NR ramp at Times Square. 6:30 p.m. Packed trains. High ratio of Manhattanites to outer borough types. Low odds of resistance. It really was like taking candy from a baby. But the candy was a $500 phone, and the baby was some hot chick whose sugar daddy would buy her a new one. The standard play was to linger on the platform, like he was waiting to get on the train. Look for someone, inattentive, weak, female, standing near the door, fiddling with a gadget. Reach, grab, run. By the time the girl realized her phone was gone, Nicky was halfway up the stairs. Easy. He heard the rattle of the approaching train, watched the lights heading his way, joined the other cattle gathering close at the edge of the platform in eager anticipation of scoring a New York commuter's lottery ticket, an empty seat. 6 trains had come and gone without a baby and her candy. This time, as the train lurched to a halt, Nicky saw what he'd been looking for through the glass of the car doors. Eyes down. Phone out. Reddish blonde hair pulled into a ponytail at the nape of her neck. Long-sleeved white sweater. Backpack straps looped over both shoulders. Despite the train's lurch, she typed with 2 hands, stabilizing herself against the bounce with her core strength. Maybe that should have been a sign. He stepped 1 foot into the car, grabbed the phone, and pivoted a 180, like he had 50 times before. He pushed through the clump of angry riders who had followed him into the car and now stood before him, all hoping to secure a few square feet on the crowded train before the doors closed. Had he known what would happen next, maybe he would have run faster for the staircase.